It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is time right here on KETR for us to spend about 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. Deer season's going strong right now. Actually, this is the opening weekend of deer season. Good luck to everybody. I almost hope you're not listening right now. Maybe you can listen online to the archive. I hope you're in a deer stand, a lot of you rabid deer hunters like me. But I'll tell you what that is going on other than deer hunting right now. The crappie bite down at Lake Fork is red hot. If you remember last week, we had guide Seth Vanover with us, and Seth was saying he was catching, he and his clients, catching good numbers of crappie, but all it was going to take was just a drop, just a little bit more drop in water temperature for the crappie, fall crappie bite to be going strong. Well, that happened, and I want Seth to tell you about a recent trip just a couple of days ago at Fork, and I do believe the steady bite for the that happens every year is on. Seth, thank you for being with us today, bud.
Appreciate you having me, buddy.
You did last week. You were talking about, you actually predicted this, nailed it, about the bite should be happening any day, and this is a matter of 7 days since then, and actually 5 days since then when you and y'all got into a ton of crappie, didn't you?
No, sir. 94 quart cooler, and you couldn't stick a piece of ice in it. It was jam packed full of giant crappie.
Well, that's a lot of good eating too, Seth. What's the change? I mean, the fact that they're biting well, obviously, but you think it is the degree or two of drop in water temperature was the trigger?
That and the lake's finished turning over.
The
turnover's complete. And usually when that happens, everything just goes crazy, and they did.
They turned on. Well, the age-old question among crappie fishermen, you know what I'm going to ask you already, minnows or jigs?
Right now, it really doesn't matter. What's your preference? Well, what do you like to throw? They're going to bite it. We had 125 crappie the other day, and we caught them on anything you could imagine.
All kind of variations of colors of jigs and minnows. When you're, I love to jig fish basically because you just don't have to worry about keeping minnows, keeping them alive and restocking on pounds of minnows and all that. What technique or presentation with the jigs now is working best?
We're pitching them out a pretty good way, just like you would bass fish. Cast them out a good way, feed it some line, let it sink where it hit, and just bounce it in, and they're trying to take the rod out of your hand. They are crushing it.
Not that old bite that happens in the wintertime when they just suck it in, and a guy like you who's an expert finesse fisherman can catch them. I catch one if I keep the reel moving real slow in the wintertime, to keep the tension out, but... now you don't have to wonder about one biting. You know they're there, don't you?
Oh yeah. It's not having to watch your line, see if it if it just glitches. I mean, there's nothing hard about it right now.
Yeah.
It'll get that way. It's just not right now.
Yeah. Well, it's looking at that those pictures that you posted there on Facebook. By the way, folks, you can go to Facebook and like Lake Fork Cat and Crappie, and you can keep tuned in to what Seth's doing. He's good about posting pictures. But those pictures, a lot of those crappie look to be, I don't know, it's hard to tell in the box, but 13, 14-inch, maybe bigger crappie, Seth, some good ones.
Well, we had several fish over 2 pounds.
Ooh, man.
A lot of pound and a half fish. The fish in the box, if we thought we had to measure it, we didn't keep it.
Yeah.
We had 300 crappie, easy, but a lot of throwbacks.
Yeah,
now.
Well, you were telling me that they're not on their deep winter structure, 40 foot of water, or they move around out in that deep water in the winter down there by the dam at Fork for sure, chasing bait, but their own pods of shad, and you said y'all caught them from 12 to 20 foot, right?
That's it. You just got to watch your craft. We catch them on the outside of brush piles. but I'll run over, check it with my grab first, make sure there's fish on it. And but bait fish is absolute key right now. If you find a big school of shad, you're going to find a big school of crappie.
That's the key. And interpreting your electronics, I know that's key too. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people, I don't think, really... You know, the old school way of fishing for crappies, go out and tie up to a tree and a certain fish a certain depth and vary your depths until you catch one. If you don't catch one, move. But gosh, with today's electronics, it makes, if you understand how to operate them, how to read them and interpret them, it makes finding fish in general just a whole lot easier, doesn't it?
You just spend more time fishing.
Mm-hmm. Catching,
a lot less time hunting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm all about, too. How about catfish down there? I know everybody's sacking those crappie up, but if you wanted to go back to your catfish holes at Lake Fork right now, Seth, what would you expect now?
Yeah, you can fill a 94 quart cooler up faster than we did the other day with crappie.
Oh,
sure,
man.
Catfish easy right now.
You know, it's amazing to me, each year about this time, fishing gets so good for catfish, especially crappie. But just here in a matter of like 2 months, I mean, the weather's going to be bleak a lot. Doesn't mean the fish won't bite, but this is prime time to stock a freezer up with enough fillets for winter fish fries. And but here pretty soon, I mean, like the catfish, you catch them in the winter, but not like in the fall, is it?
No, the winter bite's a little different for channel cat. You'll catch them, but it's a lot more patience.
Yeah,
involved.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I'll tell you what let's do, Seth. Let's shift gears a little bit. Since it is the opening of rifle season for deer hunters, a lot of people are going to be listening to us online. I just know it. They're in their deer stand right now. Of course, we're bow hunters, you and I, and I'll still shoot one, with a rifle, muzzle loader. Being an outdoor rider, I have to stay pretty versatile. But this is the traditional opener of deer season, you know, the first Saturday in November. We had the privilege of being up in Kansas together about 3 weeks ago, and I'd like you to tell our listeners about what you saw. It was our first time. We were hunting up there with Larry Large, good buddy of mine. Larry and I do elk and bear hunts up in Colorado, but it was our first time up there and on some really good property, but we were getting our feet wet. Next year we're going to be offering hunts for deer, for trophy deer up there throughout the month of October. But Seth, you saw some wall hangers at about 50 yards coming down the bottoms there, didn't you?
I saw some good ones. I saw two of them that, you know, they were a pretty good ways off in some thickets, so I couldn't get a good eyeball on them. But I mean, easily they were in the 160s, but I can't, yeah, maybe some 10 points. They may have been a little bit more. Not really sure. But I know they were in the 160 range. They were huge bodied deer, 250 pounds on the hoof. I mean, just massive looking deer.
Lots of turkey up there too. That's something that on our hunts next year, I was talking with Larry and you too. You brought it up. You had swarms of turkeys coming through. That's something that'd be a plus, I think, for a bow hunt next year, is the opportunity to take a turkey up there too. And
I agree.
You brought it to mind. A lot of Texas hunters, you can hunt a lot of places in Texas. You can go get lots and lots of Rios, but up there, I mean, I've never seen a higher concentration of turkeys in my life, and I'm a rabid spring turkey hunter. I love to do that. So the property's got a cabin, and Larry's talking about next year. An economical hunt up there, is very economical compared to a lot of them, but the hunters headquartering in nearby motels, very reasonably priced. Things up there seem to be priced like they were here 30 years ago, a lot of them, you know, lodging and all that. But the hunters stay there in about a 15-minute drive to to that 10,000 acre ranch. And that's a little misleading. I was privy to look over a lot of that land, and I know you were there too, Seth. But, you know, it's 10,000 acre ranch, yes. But well, most of it is farmland, you know.
Right.
But the bottom line is there's a swath of creek bottoms that I believe I walked about 2 or 3 miles down one of them, those creek bottoms, and that thing is at least a quarter of a mile, maybe a half a mile strip wide in some places, you know. And that's where the deer travel. I mean, we found trails down there a foot deep that were, you know, deer tracks all over them. It's just a different part of the world to hunt, you know?
Oh, it's gorgeous up there. And I mean, just sick how many deer are there. Just sick. I mean, I saw a ton of deer in the area I was in. And it was more, like I said, more of a scouting deal for me. I wanted to see what was up there.
Yeah.
I sure saw it.
You did. And, you know, your experience as a hunter up there, getting the apple, it's unit 7 is where we're talking, folks, which is up 12 miles from Nebraska border. It's central
Lebanon, Kansas.
Yeah, Lebanon, which is the geographic center of the United States. We were hunting within 5 or 6 miles of the marker that delineates the center of the U.S. But you know, the size of the deer is a big draw. But drawing for unit 7, for any of those units up there, everybody that hunted with us, Seth, drew a tag, didn't they? You know?
Yeah. It's a fairly easy process. Once you do it one time, it can get frustrating, but once you figure out the tricks, it takes you all 5 minutes.
Well, I know we've got all the tricks ironed out for next October.
Yep.
And anybody that might want to try to get up there and bow hunt in Kansas, I'll give you a website. A lot of the information is there. Larry Large's site there. It's huntingeasttexas.com. Huntingeasttexas.com. But all that information on drawing for tags and all that is on there, and pricing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Seth, that's it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it, having had a year to scout and learn what's going on up there. But I've always wanted to get up in Kansas. I'd hunted Illinois, I've hunted North Dakota, even been up in Alberta bow hunting once. But my gosh, the size of those deer. North Dakota has nothing on them, and that's a fact. I mean, if anything, the average doe and buck size down there in that area we were hunting in Kansas, I think, is a little bit bigger than what I saw in North Dakota. But it's a neat place, and I know you're going to be busy this coming week putting people on those crappies, Seth, and I'd like you to maybe tie everybody into your fishing down there at Lake Fork, how, if they need more information, websites, etc.
You bet. The website is lakeforkcatandcrappie.com. Like I said, you can search that same name on Facebook and see all the pictures we've been doing here lately. Or you can call me anytime, 903-736-4557.
Well, Seth, I appreciate you being with us as much as you are on the radio and giving a lot of really good information. And I think I've got a lot of emails people just enjoy a non-formatted formatted visit that we do each week. So I want to keep this up, you know, months ahead, and you keep catching those old crappie. How about it?
You betcha.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.